Welcome to Houndsy, the Steel Army podcast. I'm Dan Yost, and with me tonight to discuss a cornucopia of mid-preseason, but not a whole lot of news going on, Houndsy USL soccer stuff, are a couple friends. You've heard him on the show before. You'll probably hear him on the show again, unless someone quits in the aftermath of all the fiery debate that's about to be had. Kick it off first with Ariana. What's good, girl?
Life's good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I made a interesting life choice last weekend because I don't have soccer to fill my weekends with yet, and promptly went to the tattoo convention and got quite a few tattoos. So
the word on the street
I need
was
soccer
six?
To start.
Six?
Yes. Can confirm it was six.
On the same day?
All in the same day. All but one of them on the same arm. So yeah, I was not well that night and the next morning. You don't realize how quickly your body responds to stuff like that. Or I guess maybe even how slowly, because the first couple, you know, were fine, nothing, no big deal. I've sat for a 6-hour tattoo before, so nothing crazy, but then, you know, you take a little bit of a break waiting for the next artist to be ready, and then that's when it all starts to sink in. My body was definitely rioting, and I was in shorts because my last tattoo was right above my knee. And I was walking around downtown Pittsburgh in 30-something degree weather in shorts after just getting a tattoo. So
just good decision after good decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just say soccer needs to start soon.
So is it all healing up now? The body's starting to recover?
Yeah.
No long-term effects?
I'm itchy like nobody's business. That's one of the things that, like I'm in the stage where it's all dry now. I peeled all the, you know, second skin off, the protective layer. But now they're just really itchy. It's and you can't really scratch them because then they hurt. It's like sunburn. When it's like starting to peel and you get really itchy, but then you can't scratch because then it hurts. That's where I'm at now. So I'm trying my hardest not to scratch my arms.
Word. Devin, how many tattoos did you get last weekend?
I got none tattoos.
Okay. So. Would you ever consider getting 6 tattoos in a day?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it seems wise.
Doesn't sound like a fun time.
Don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it.
How you doing, man? How things are?
I'm doing all right. In the slogs of February, feels like the longest month, even though it's the shortest. But that means Hounds football's coming, so. Soccer?
Yeah, of course. I feel like today really hit me that I'm just ready to pound some beverages and stand on some very slippery, wet bleachers in the Paul Child stand. I need that back in my life ASAP. Faux show. Also with us tonight, I love him, you love him, everyone loves him. It's your favorite neighborhood, Vesty. What's up, Vesty?
Oh, shucks. Yeah. Coincidentally, also getting tattoos, but not at the convention.
Oh. Did you do 6?
Oh.
Nah, just one. But I'm up to, I think, 8 total. But mm-hmm. Clearly got some catching up to do. Somebody's running up the score in this group here.
Yeah, but I think, knowing your tattoos, you go for you're going bigger than what she does.
So. Yeah, I always go large, then I don't know, fills the space up with my gangly long arms,
like 2 inches by 2 inches, so they're kind of small.
Yeah, so I don't even want to say it's like quantity over quality or something like that, because they could all be good, just different sizes,
different strokes for different
ah
ching
nerds. So I just got back. I was at a meeting earlier this evening at a bar/restaurant, as one does.
Shocker.
Had some wings. It's one of these places where they'll do the wings in multiples of five. And this is becoming, in my opinion, as I'm really noticing, more and more common. When the hell did we get away from doing wings in the multiples of six? I don't like it. It should be, there's 6, 12, 18, 24, 30, if you're going crazy. When did we go to multiples of five, and who do I have to talk about it? Because I don't like this.
I don't think I've heard of that before.
Yeah. Also, the places that say, like, small, medium, and large, that's total bullshit, because you know the first question everyone's asking is how many wings in a size.
Yeah.
So you've seen this reduction, or shrinkflation, or whatever, in more than one place, or just
this one more? I've noticed it a couple places where, yes, they're doing them in multiples of five.
Five feels right, like, only because multiples of five.
Isn't that what Pamani does? I think they're in fives now.
I'm gonna look up their menu because now I'm curious. But six also feels, because then you say half a dozen, a dozen. That makes sense.
It's what we've all grown up with. It's what we do. It's.
Wingstop just opened up near me. I'm curious what they do.
I've never had
it. I feel like if somebody's going to reduce it, it's going to be like a chain like that.
That also feels like a place that's going to do small, medium, and large orders.
Yeah, no, I haven't had it yet. We're pretty loyal to the original Big Shot Bob's, and they fortunately still deal in dozen, half dozen sizes.
As they should. So everyone can just think about that while we actually get into Hound's thoughts and news proper. The boys have played a couple of preseason games in the past week and a half. We'll say week and a half. Tuesday. They hosted ye olde Indy 11. Each team had one in the net that was flagged off for offside. Final score 0-0. Ariana, you were there. I'm sure you took very detailed notes. What were your top line takeaways from the game against Indy?
Well, I was excited we got actual names this year. And I was genuinely surprised that of the starting 11, only two were trialists. Last year, for most of preseason, we were dealing with a lot of like faces or names that we didn't know on the field. So to have just two in the first round, I mean, we had a lot of new signees as well, Eric Dick and Nett, and then Babacar. But even then, that's only the two new signees. Everyone else were returning players. So it just felt very different than last year. But the new players were, they seem to mesh well. So I'm not, you know, it's nothing bad towards them. And then in the second half, we only had one trialist on the field with, I think, four of the new signees. So even then, we still had a pretty decent chunk of returning names on the field. So it felt a lot like we were taking it, I don't want to say taking it seriously, because we do usually take it seriously, but it definitely felt like we were testing out who got along, you know, who meshed with who, where everyone fit in. We did get to see Captain General Langston Blackstock. I don't know what official title we've been giving him, Sergeant maybe.
Wait, they gave him the armband?
No, not that Captain.
Oh, jeez, okay.
No. That was Kenny, who played. Was not clipboard Kenny this game, so.
It's also surprising.
Yeah. He did come off, I want to say, halfway through maybe the second half, and promptly parked it right where he was parked last year. I feel like that should just be Kenny's corner on the bench.
Just screw the nameplate into that part of the bench?
Yeah, yeah. clipboard, Captain Kenny's corner. Yeah, but it was all right. I think the final score, in my opinion, would have been 2-1 had we not had three. There were two for us and one for them called off for offside. And Bob got his first yellow card. Bob was one of two people to get yellow cards in that game.
Okay, so my question, I'm going to stop you here.
Yeah, yeah.
Was this Bob going a little overboard, or was this preseason ref who just wasn't going to just deal with, like, even normal Bob that night or that day?
Yeah, this was the latter. Preseason ref who, I mean, there were a lot of should have been yellow cards. There was, in my opinion, a pretty clear cleats up tackle that should have been a red for Indy anyway earlier in the game. So I just figured the ref, you know, forgot his card. But when he pulled it out for Bob, and Bob was basically saying things along the line of, you know, do your job. you can imagine the words that came out of Bob's mouth. But yeah, he was pretty fired up at the ref for not doing his job properly and not, you know.
This sounds like not protecting my players type of stuff.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was. Yeah, but it was fun to watch because, you know, Bob didn't really back down. And the ref marched up to him and said, "I don't have to take this," pulled out the card and gave it to him. So it felt a lot like Bob said something that must have hurt his feelings. And that's just, it was that kind of reaction. So, but I think it's hilarious that the first card of the season, albeit preseason, is given to Bob. And I don't think most of the players were trying to hold their laughter in because they too agreed that it was kind of ridiculous. He got one. I can't imagine. I mean, he was heated, but it was him and then an Indy player that got booked. That was it, the entire game. And it was a contested game. I definitely think that there were other, you know, fouls that should have been called, but apparently the ref didn't want to call them.
So did anyone have a moment of brilliance that sometimes we get in these preseason games where you're, you know, they're trying to do something to make them stand out? Did anyone have the beautiful pass, the great one touch, or anything that really stood out as a big moment individually?
Nothing really stood out to me. I think that one of the trialists in the first half, one of the two, was right in front of Bob. And I was really trying to pay attention to see, you know, if Bob was going to yell at him to get up, to push, to do whatever. But Bob seemed pretty tame in the first half. He did, I think, Alal might be the center of Bob's attention at the moment. Alal was definitely getting some yelling at.
Maintain shape, get higher.
Alal was playing in the midfields or in the center back position, so it wasn't like, you know, he could really go much else, you know. But it was a lot of there were some poor passes that Bob got, you know, angry about. There were definitely moments when Bob was telling the bench what the players on the field should have heard.
Classic Bob.
I also think it's hilarious that Bob refused to come out at halftime on time. He was a solid probably 5 minutes late. Indy 11 was on the field, the refs were on the field, and Bob and the team were nowhere to be seen until they moseyed out of the locker room 5 minutes later. So either someone set their clock wrong or wasn't paying attention, but...
Or Bob had no fucks to give on that.
Well... It's preseason.
Exactly.
So, but it was interesting. We got to see Langston in as a defender still. So I feel like that might be his permanent now position. He did play a little midfield, but, you know, I think that Bob doesn't know where to put Langston. So, but there wasn't, yeah, like I said, wasn't anything that really stood out to me player-wise. There was... a trialist who had who tipped in a header off the crossbar, which was a good attempt, but it was not. It was allowed. Disallowed. Well, no. Let me rephrase. The same player hit a header off the crossbar at the very end of the game, off a free kick, and not 10 minutes prior, the same player headed the ball into the net and hit an offsides flag. Offside flag went up. So that player, his name is Dahlman, seems to be someone to keep an eye out for. But
oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. You might be right. Yeah. I think he's on our list of people released, but... Yeah.
Enough on him.
He was good. but we are keeping an eye out for... Sterling has not touched down in...
let's save the trialist for a little bit
but
here.
Yes.
We'll get back
okay.
to that. Let's move on. Yeah. Devin. Not there, I'm assuming, for the preseason game.
Nope.
Okay. What? They've played two. We have stats on one game. We have next to nothing on the other game. What are the things you're looking for in this preseason?
I'm looking for somebody to stand out as the number one striker, which, I mean, we'll get into the trial list here soon, but with the one player that we have signed, it's definitely promising that we have a goal scored already. But yeah, I mean, once I get out to actually see a game, I'll be looking, you know, are we playing the similar style to last year? That kind of stuff. But that's the big thing we're looking at right now is who's going to fill that gap.
Same-ish question to you, Vesti. You're a veteran of the watching preseason games from the grandstand. What are your kind of season-to-season carryovers of what you're looking for in the preseason that carries over to the regular season?
Oh, you know, looking for guys with like energy, with pace. You know, Bob likes to play those wingers on out the side that just kind of run up and down the field. And I know we have, you know, returning guys that fit that mold, but you know, for injury sake or you know, giving guys rest or whatever, I like to, you know, look for the one who is going to step up into that role. Often I feel like we're wrong. Blanking on the name, the guy the two seasons ago that we thought was going to be it, and then he disappeared. But yeah, looking for that. It's tough to, I think, get a lot of sense on strikers, especially when you're playing against like college teams or other teams that may not be taking it that serious. There's been a few instances where guys look really good in preseason, they just never do anything during the season. So yeah, just looking for who's really putting the energy out there, who's really fighting for that spot, and hoping that translates to a season-long addition.
Anyone else in this little chat here surprised that apparently Mertz is still on corner kick duty?
No, he's usually, like, in the past, he's been kind of the guy behind Forbes who was taking corner kicks, at least on the one side, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally agree with he was taking them. I don't think he was taking them well, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who else?
Well, I will say that Langston did take one, a free kick, in the preseason game, the first preseason game that we watched, and it was a pretty good one. So, I mean, they might move into the midfield to take those, but it's really hard to tell what he's going to play, but I concur that I don't think Robbie's been.
Is it as simple as they want Robbie over there because he's the least likely to get a header off the court?
He's not going on the air side of those? Yeah, I mean, there's part of it. it's just that was to me a recurring theme of at least the second half of last season, was when Kenny was taking the set pieces corners, you felt you had a chance, and then when Robbie was sent up behind him, you were a little less confident on its effectiveness. So I was a bit surprised to find out that he was taking corners still. But
I think his injury definitely plays a lot into the later half of the season. I think that he never really truly let it heal properly. It was a foot injury, so I think that, you know, either he was favoring it or something teetered off, and I'm hoping maybe in the off season he got the chance to let it completely heal, and maybe that'll change. But I don't remember him taking them, but that's also probably because I don't remember seeing it, but or there wasn't any memorable ones that stuck with me, so, which is I guess saying something, but
So the next preseason game opportunity will be this Sunday. Oh, is it 4 p.m.? I wish I had information.
2 o'clock
at Yield Highmark against West Virginia University, whose goalkeeper coach is the one and only Mr. Nick Noble. Maybe have an interview with that guy coming up. We'll see. Threw it out there. We'll see. So we will be having the chance to get some more intel on players then. Guys, the fun part about this year, unlike the last two seasons, is we're getting trialist names. So we have things to look at and people to study and all that stuff. Devin, I'll start with you. I'm assuming you have the list of trialists in front of you. If not, I'll stall long enough that you can get them. I think I know where you're going to go with this, but what are the names sticking out to you of what you're interested in?
Well, there's three. Two mainly. The two forwards definitely stick out, Sterling and Nagelstand, I believe it is. But also interested to see what the local kid can do. I don't know if he's going to make any impact or make the roster.
Dragish.
Just nice to have, the local kid on the roster. But definitely out of the group, Sterling is the big standout, though, for me.
Yeah, Kaziah Sterling, a forward from good old Jolly England. Last two seasons played for South Georgia Chimenta of USL League One. He grew up in the Spurs Academy, did have a handful of appearances with the first team, so he does have that experience.
Champions League.
Was one of them in the Champions League, really?
It was, yes. His senior debut was subbed on for Dele Alli in the Champions League.
Oh, that's fun stuff.
In the 88th minute, Bill.
Hey, you know what? That's two more minutes than any of us will ever see. So coming to us from South Georgia Tormenta, we're on the street as he's not in the States yet. He's one of those guys getting the visas stuff sorted out. That's I think the big one. He was a standout player. When the word got out that he was on the trialist list for Pittsburgh, you got a lot of responses from USL people in the know, the South Georgia people who were kind of wondering where he was at or how the... I mean, I heard people actually going as far as to describe it as the Sterling sweepstakes. So that is, I think, the name that a lot of people have on their lookout for list. Marcus Nagelstand is the other name we just learned a couple days ago. He did not start the preseason with Pittsburgh, but he's now apparently in here. He has been with Chattanooga at that point, NISA, they're moving to Next Pro this year. He was the league's Golden Boot winner 2 years ago. Former MVP. Has the, I believe, the all-time scoring record for Chattanooga. So one of their biggest strikers, if not the biggest striker ever, for one of the premier teams in NISA, which is kind of an oxymoron, but I just said it. So with those two guys, and who knows if they're maybe they're competing for one spot, or they might both, you know, which is kind of my first thought was, are you bringing both those guys and they're competing for one place on the roster, or are you looking at signing them both? That might be an interesting part of it. But if you look at those two, Babacar Diagne, who's already signed, he had the goal in the one of the two goals against Loudon the other day. And then you have Ikiza, who's going to kind of be, I guess, installed as your starter right now, just based on how everything else is playing out. And then however the hell you want to describe Langston Blackstock.
Wingback.
Yeah, fullback, wingback, everything except what he was signed as. Ariana, the pool of strikers is starting to look a little interesting for the Hounds. Do you think these two guys are competing for one spot? Do you think the chance of both getting signed? How do you see this playing out, and where do you see the long-term picture of, you know, the hat of striker names being shuffled up here?
So my biggest worry actually sits more in the international spots that the league, you know, were allowed. I do believe, by my count, we're coming awfully close to the limit, which scares me because both of these forwards are international players and would take the international slots. Sterling's from England, and Nagelstrand is from Norway. So I'd be intrigued to see if that plays into the ultimate designing. I do think they are competing for one spot. We do have two signed, I'm not counting Langston, two signed forwards, which I feel like last year we had maybe three or four. So it wouldn't surprise me if they both get signed. It's just depending in my brain then on, you know, what the international slot look, you know, is looking like, breakdown. But I'd be intrigued to see both of them play. We haven't seen both of them play yet. We haven't seen either of them play with us, you know, in our squad yet. So I'm hoping they're both here for game three, along with Pierre Cayet. Pierre?
Yeah, from or France. Pierre.
He too is having visa working out a visa issue. So I'm intrigued to see the three of them, you know, finally hit the ground running. So we have seen other players that I'm, you know, looking to your question that you had raised earlier. But I think that they're, I would love to have them, but well, I don't know. I'm not going to say I would love to have them both because I really haven't seen them play. I feel like Sterling, you know, we hear a lot of,
he's clearly the bigger
name. What you just
laid
out, his history. Yeah. But how will that translate to working, you know, Bob's style? Or working with the team that we have, I'm not entirely sure. I want to see the chemistry. So I think that Sunday, hoping that all three of those names that I just mentioned are in the States and ready to play, we'll at least get to see somewhat of that, especially then the connections with, you know, Kiza and Babacar, to see maybe, you know, if we're looking at a pairing, a starting pairing that we might go with, or whatnot. So, I don't know. I'm intrigued. I don't want to put too many eggs in those baskets, but because I just haven't seen them play yet in our format, you know.
You bring up a fair point with the international slots, and that my mind immediately reeled back to the mutual release of DZ Harbin, and I'm curious how much that may have played into it.
So,
DZ had a look maybe at another team, or now that clears up in your national spot?
We have seven, right?
Yes.
Is that how many? Because I was just counting through while we were talking about
it. But don't fall into the trap of just counting their hometown.
So Kenny's Kenny's good. He doesn't take an international slot. Kiza more than likely doesn't. And then you have Junior.
Who does?
Ilal, who does.
Yes. Danny.
Danny, who probably doesn't?
I don't know. I think he still does.
All right, so let's count. We'll count Danny.
This is one thing that I wish
Pierre,
they would be more clear with. And all the teams in USL are not clear about who carries international spots.
Pierre is 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then Babacar is 5. So should we have 7 slots remaining? You know, there are 3 international players currently sitting on the tryout list. Both the 2 names we've just been talking about. And then Gabriel Parada, who was the goalkeeper in the second half of the preseason, the first preseason game. So
there's been a couple of interviews on Pittsburgh Soccer Now, and they're essentially referring to him as in the squad.
Yeah. So, you know, my questions then are, if Danny is or isn't taking an international spot, if he isn't, that frees up 3 spots, which would be filled with all 3 of the names still on our tryout list. Should he be still taking an international spot? That leaves us with 2. If Gabriel Parada, who it seems, like you said, he's a shoe-in, that leaves 1 spot
left. That'd be absolutely insane to have what is essentially, what looks like to be your 3rd keeper, taking an international spot. And he's been here the whole time. I wonder if he doesn't.
He might not. That's also true. But I don't know. He was here right away. It seems to me that some of the international spots, you can kind of be a dead giveaway if they're obviously still fighting for that.
Yeah, that's...
You know, we saw that last year with Olal. We knew him. He was pretty much signed to the team a while before he was announced, but that's just because he was, you know, we were trying to, you know, sort his spot out. So, I don't know. I'm intrigued to see how that plays out. You know, maybe ask around, see who has. Do you have your green card?
When anyone sees Bob on Sunday, ask him who's taking your national spots, or if you see Visser up in the stands.
Or Wednesday, maybe they'll be more forgiving in the event on Wednesday, next Wednesday. So,
if Greba, you're listening, start including international slot status on these press releases. We're out here guessing like idiots.
that just intrigues me. You know, I've been keeping an eye on that since we have lost a lot of our international spots, especially with the DZ Harmon, you know, mutual release. That plays into it, I think. I also think, you know, he has gotten minutes on his international team, so there might be something there. So I don't really know, you know, how that'll go. I've been watching his social media to see if he's hinting at, you know, signing with another team, but nothing yet, I believe, so.
Vesti.
Yeah.
I know you asked to beg off of Trala stock, but I'm going to bring you in here for this, just because you've been around watching Bob for a while. Do you think this Sterling and Nagelstan are playing for 1 spot, or are they both looking to come in?
I would say probably 1 spot based off of the current roster makeup. I know positional designations don't necessarily mean a lot for Bob, but I don't feel like he usually carries that many forwards, since he only usually plays 1 or 2 up top anyways.
I mean, it was essentially 3 last year with Tola, Chico, and Kizza.
Yeah. I think just from the fact that Sterling is still listed as a trialee, even though he is unable to make it into the country at the moment, makes me think they think pretty highly of him, that they're going to wait around for him. So if I would be a betting man at this point, despite Nagelstan's pedigree as the Nisa golden boot, I would probably say Sterling would be the more likely of the two to stick with the team.
Yeah, it's going to be the fun part to watch in these coming weeks. Well, you know, when these guys get into the country, when they integrate into the team, how these signs come out. I mean, it really does seem like Parada that is in for the, I say third goalkeeper, like he's going to be the bottom of the depth chart. Who knows? But one of the three signed keepers. So it's become clear that Bob's signing three this year. They had Romero in camp, and he fucked off to NYCFC. Luckily for us. So Parada kind of sticks as the last remaining guy to be signed on the keeper front. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just excited that they're giving us names, and this gives us a whole mess of things to talk about with trialists.
I will say the thing that potentially will be holding Sterling back is that apparently there's been a mandate that we're only signing big boys this year, and Sterling's under 6 feet.
Yeah, he's not gonna, if you look at his radial stats, aerial threat is not, it's a big red mark for sure. Yeah, he's not
high listed for Marcus.
I just looked it up. He's just over 6 feet.
Oh,
according to the transfer market.
Good gracious.
Kids, we got a professional schedule, which, you know, we got a breakdown here on all things at Houndsy. If you guys don't have it in front of you, grab a second, go look at it. I will just focus on my highlights of the promotional schedule, then we can toss it around here. Dollar beers for the Detroit game. That is a decision. That is, I have brought this up with a couple of friends, and they've already purchased tickets for that game, based solely on Detroit and dollar beers. So seems like a brave call on their part, but good on them, I guess. The superstars are coming back. Discussed it once, discussed it twice. Let me make sure. It's Mario Lemieux and Squidney Crosby. There we go. I kept wanting to put the pun on the surname, not the given name. If they're not there,
I'm Mia Hamm.
Gonna be pissed.
Hamster.
Mia Hamster. Put some respect in her name, damn it.
Yeah.
That's July 27th with Loudon. Those are the big ones. That and where's it at here? September 7th, Chico's coming back to town, and we got chainsaw juggling.
Hey, yo.
I mean, sorry, guy, balancing shit on your chin. Chainsaw juggling. GTFO. Devin, what speaks to you? What brings the family out on the promotional calendar?
Brings the family. Well, obviously, Superstars brings every family out, so you got that going. But it seems like they're going for a similar type of promotional schedule to last year, and attendance is great. So, if it works, I definitely say keep doing it. They have like a child ventriloquist coming too, which that I don't know what that's about.
Okay, I want to stop there because I saw that and my first thought was,
how's it going to work?
One, I don't know where ventriloquism falls in the hierarchy of America entertainment. You know, it falls somewhere close to miming, I feel. But I mean, there's always the chance you're gonna throw a kid out there, even if this is her job. Like, you know, she's doing this as a thing. Like that first half doesn't go well. I mean, the crowd could get ugly straight away. You're asking for problems. You don't want to see the kid cry, but who knows? That was my concern was. You're asking for problems, but go on.
Well, then you got like, so I was looking at the one guy, Luke Rollins. I thought it was like a country singer or something. He's like a rope. He's a rope guy. So that'll be interesting. I mean, who knows? I'm sure it'll, nothing can be as bad as the light show last year. So
Yes, you can't do a bigger. The train wreck can't be worse than the Laser Light Spectacular. I mean, we say that now. On this clip, in that clip, in using that when, you know, the Luke Rollins incident of 24 is international news.
Although we've apparently run out of local Pittsburgh celebrities, and we've just gone to special celebrity appearance, so that kind of got me wondering. Like, if we move beyond Pittsburgh, that really opens up a lot of possibilities.
They could have done away with that, right?
Oh, they absolutely could have. But that, I feel like that's just filler. Like, we don't have promotions for these games. Let's just bring somebody random. But
do you have to have some every game? Do you have to?
They sold out almost every game last year, so I'm going to say yes.
But clearly, like, when I'm looking at the sad-ass line for signatures from Spanky Laval, and there, you know, there's fuck all on that line, I'm feeling bad for the guy. Like, do we need to be doing this? I'm sitting here, we can't get home announcers for the broadcast. Like, let's kick that money over to them.
Well, if that was the choice, then absolutely. Yeah, I was going to say. how much did he possibly get paid to come to a Hounds game? He probably got like a free ticket and a beer.
How much do you think...
The John Daly special.
How much do you think Jack Taylor got last year? He got some money.
He might have got something. Because, well, he drew a decent line. Although that was the game where I think it was rained out. So
that was the Hartford...
People had nothing else.
Yeah. Yes.
It was Ike Taylor and the Dance Bomb bringing the crowds.
Put some respect on Dr. Holly's name.
Festy.
Go for it. I think you're missing the entirely best night that will be, and that is the squish ammo giveaway.
Well, I didn't miss it. I was saving it for someone else. I couldn't steal them all immediately.
No. That is top tier. Should have been number one. This mini ammo, I am so pumped for. I'm also pumped that while you were upset, not upset, you think it's interesting that we chose dollar beer for Detroit night. I'm glad that that's all it is for them. I don't, like, last year it was the stadium giveaway, and I know we talked a lot about, like, we want to, you know, don't want them to get the stadium giveaway. So I'm glad it's just it's dollar beer. You know, it would have been better if it was like Loop Rawlings, but, you know, I'll take $1 beer because that means they're not getting anything better, like squish ammo. Or,
you could have done a celebrity thing with, an athlete with a great, like, fuck you to Detroit moment in their career.
We got the Kenny Forbes bobblehead. I am quite excited for that.
There might be fistfights for that one.
Yes, both of those are probably top tier.
Are we thinking they do the like last year and do 500? Because that seems crazy.
Yeah, but they've got to bring back the season ticket holder line. That is 100% the only reason why I got both the ammo bobblehead and the Highmark Stadium was because they had that line.
Yes, correct.
Season ticket holder line. So front office, Grubba, Jeff, if you're listening. Please bring back the season ticket holder line. I would
roll that red carpet back out, damn it.
Yes, please. And then finally,
500 only—that's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild to me. And then the Mount Rushmore giveaway.
Okay,
on the Hall of Fame night.
Save the question. We all know what the question's going to be. We're saving it for when that time comes. We're not going there yet.
Okay, everyone, think about it now. You have now months. 6 months to figure it out. So think about who it's going to be.
Vesty, what's going to get you, Brittany, and the kids out for a game, promotional-wise?
Oh, I mean, as Devin mentioned, Superstars, no question asked. I am very, very curious how these... like the Loop Rollins, and I'm just very curious how all these are going to translate to on the field entertainment. I went and looked up Loop because I want to know what a lassoer did. And not only does he lasso, he whips and he twirls guns. And sometimes fire is involved, so I'm curious if they're going to let him do that on the field or not.
Please, yes.
I hope so. But, hey, I mean, some interesting choices.
Does he... do you have any video of him jumping, like, jumping through the hoop that he's hooping? Like, does he have...
I mean, he's got some videos on YouTube. I didn't want to spoil myself too much, so I don't know what... I don't have the trick list. But, from what I saw, it's kind of what you're expecting, for better or worse.
It's kind of what?
Kind of what you're expecting, for better or worse.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting group of people. I like that they're branching out. They brought back the fan favorite, but then they're trying some new things. What? People are talking about the Pitt to Riverhounds connection. This year we're establishing the America Got Talent connection between a couple of these guys, too.
Oh, which ones were all America's Got Talent?
The ventriloquist, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she was last year, and apparently Mr. Rollins was a decade ago, but that's still a resume piece.
Did he get past the first round?
I did not see how far he got. Again, I didn't want to get spoiled. I don't want to see the good stuff.
It doesn't seem like... I mean, I guess that's with all those talent acts, but you watch that and go, okay, what do you do the next time? Like, I don't know how you build upon it, but you can say the same thing about Singer.
That's why he's a triple threat between whips.
Oh, it's true.
Gun twirling and
you don't give it all the first time. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's correct. My bad. My apologies, Loop. This upcoming Wednesday, Hounds are releasing new kits with a new kit manufacturer. At the Heinz History Center at 6 o'clock? Not 6, yeah, I think it's 6.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking hard about this. I think I'm pre-gaming it at Condado. FYI.
There is one close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I will be there. Ariana, I'm assuming you're going to be there.
Yes.
Vesti, I'm assuming you won't be there.
Not on a weeknight, nope.
Yeah, Devin, how about you?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, I want to start with you two then. Devin, new kit manufacturer, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for, again, just something that stands out. It's going to tie into the 25 years of Hounds history. I don't know. Like, put a bridge on there, something like that. I mean, you got a lot of flexibility with the manufacturer. So, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways they could go with it. So we'll have to see what they come up with.
Although, did you see what they're doing for what Charlie is doing for Memphis's road uniform? It's a fucking white T-shirt.
Plain white.
Did anyone else see that and go, "What the hell would you sign up for?"
What's the point? Why not just stick with Adidas at that point?
To be fair, our road whites have not been something to write home about for a couple of years now.
They've had some design to them.
Yeah.
I mean, this was literally...
Well, they had white with, like, very slightly brighter white bars, didn't it? Like, you couldn't tell unless
like
you were
the diagonal
really
slash
cool.
That didn't show up on TV. They did a polka dot thing. No, they weren't great. And I don't. Yeah. I guess that's the great question. Are you? Do you have to make these look good on TV or make them look good in the store? I don't know. I'm not the salesperson. Vesti, what speaks to you for a new kit? And how about the idea of just not doing it at the club level of the stadium for once?
Yeah, the fact that they're doing it at the History Center definitely shows their ambition and drive to make the Hounds, like, you know, Pittsburgh team and really get out there. They've been posting, you know, videos of ammo around town in the last week leading up to it too, so it definitely seems like they're pushing more to try to embed it as, you know, Pittsburgh's team and the team that everybody knows about.
Just more ammo content, please.
I appreciate in the video they posted today that they left in that, like, second pause of, like, okay, it's on, go.
At the very beginning?
Yeah.
They did not cut on the action at all on that. No.
But yeah, that's cool to see. I think it also, you know, doing it at the History Center, it implies that the kit's going to be very Pittsburgh focused, as opposed to just kind of more Tempe that Adidas gave us. And if you look at stuff that Charlie does for Liga MX, they do just wild, borderline too busy printed designs on kits. So like they can, you know, pretty much do whatever the Hounds can think of.
They basically have the whole range of crazy what the hell designs back to white t-shirts.
Yeah, I mean it could go real wild. Literally do it all. Apparently they do Call of Duty themed shirts of Liga MX, so maybe we can get some, like, I don't know what games popular these days, I'm showing my age, but you know, get some nice branded partnerships or whatever. They put QR codes on all their jerseys, apparently. Who knows where that's going to lead?
What do you need a QR code for?
They call it. So I noticed it on the picture, the teaser picture of the Hounds did, because they didn't cover it up. And all the Liga MX stuff has the QR codes, but I couldn't find what it actually is for. They call it a fan code. Yeah, it's like down on like the right hip where, you know, you usually have like the authentic tag or whatever. So it's like, I think the Charlie logo, a QR code, the Hounds logo, and yeah, it's going to take you somewhere.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah, I was on the Charlie website. I was hoping maybe they would have screwed up and put the design out early, which they didn't.
We do have a bit of a preview with the practice kits are out. I mean, you can see those, but it gives you a little bit of an idea of what we're going for.
Yeah. I noticed the price point for their other jerseys falls in like the $70 to $95 range.
Mm-hmm.
What were the Adidas ones going for? If anyone,
about the same, right?
Yeah.
What were they?
90. About 90, yeah. All right. For the new ones.
So maybe similar, maybe a little less. We'll, I guess, find out. Yeah.
We'll say one interesting thing from those practice kits. They don't have practice shorts and socks, basically. It's only the tops. So it is looking like we're getting solid black shorts and solid black socks. No hints of stripes like we did for Adidas.
No hoops.
Mm. Yeah. I've also been mining for leaks. They've gotten a lot better about that over the last few years.
I'm glad I wasn't the only person trying to find something.
I did find the page for the online store that the kits will be on eventually. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, nothing really interesting there, other than there will apparently be unisex women and youth sizes, and they have a slogan which I believe is brand new that we can get some opinions on here.
Yeah, please, let's go.
What do we feel about join the pack?
Works with the hunt is one from last year.
Yeah, you know,
it's about the same as hunt is one to me.
Yeah,
I mean the join the pack, it seems a bit more inclusive in terms of it's a personal call to action to every individual.
Mm.
Trying to, you know, be a little more personalized a bit more with, you know, something for you to do. So I guess that it's fine.
Yeah.
Is it better or worse than Houndtown?
I mean, since Houndtown is fucking terrible,
I'll fight you. We're throwing down.
I still don't get your affinity for Houndtown. Hashtag
it's
Houndtown.
It's dumb as shit, and I love it.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. If my opinion is that it's absolutely terrible, and so it is terrible, and your opinion is it is terrible, so it's great, that's fine. It's literally two sides of the same coin.
Appreciate that they went half-assed into the Pittsburghies and did T-A-H-N, but didn't decide to change it for Hound. So feels very like if you're gonna go all the way in and hit them with the ton,
go full Yinzer.
Go full Yinzer. Yeah, you can't half-ass the Yinzer. So, But I'm not mad at join the pack.
Join the pack. Yeah, maybe for your Psychios, that if they're gonna do seemingly new slogans every year, that maybe Down will be replaced in the near future.
Yeah, I can't get too fucked up, like too worried about joining the pack. It's fine. I think it actually might be a little bit better than Hunt is One. Yeah.
Ariana, you're gonna be Twitter keeps dying. I don't know how Town really matters anymore anyways.
Yeah.
Anyways.
When they passed out the bumper stickers with that last year, I kept asking Guy, so you guys are really trying to make this happen, aren't you? And he gave me this like sad little look, like, yeah, I'm just here to pass them out, man. Don't talk to me about it. Ariana, we're gonna be at the event. What happens if they debut the scenes and it goes over like a lead balloon?
I am going to try my darndest to hold myself together. But if they show something that's just absolutely atrocious, I have a feeling that, I mean, there will be reactions.
I mean, there's a chance this gets awkward, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's either going to be dead silent because people are like, really? You hyped it for this. But, you know, from the one person I know who's seen the kit itself, the new ones, I'm hopeful that since he's excited, that we can be excited. But I'm real nervous. But I think, you talked about it earlier, it's at the Heinz History Center. I have a feeling it was done like that for a reason. As we've seen surrounding this event and these kits in general, the team seems to be thinking, you know, it's a chess game in their brain. Namely the fact that they knew we would brighten the photo, the teaser photo they posted a couple of days ago, and put a purposefully black, like, jersey shape over it so we couldn't brighten it any further. So I'm thinking that it might have, you know, something to do with the Heinz History Center. Namely, in my brain, I'm jumping right to the trolley that's in the ground floor of the History Center. You know, maybe because that's a huge, you know, Pittsburgh history. Maybe they lean into something like that, which would be super cool. But I definitely feel like I would agree that, you know, well, I feel like because the pants, the shorts and the socks are so bland and just plain black, that maybe we'll have a fun top to counteract the boringness, but I'm not sure. That's what I'm don't want it to be just a plain black. I think that'd be so boring.
I don't part of me makes me think that they just focus on doing the kits because the kits sell and the rest just kind of get the afterthought.
That's true.
So now that
I believe the holiday party, Jeff said it was going to be unmistakably Pittsburgh, so yeah. I have a feeling it's not going to be very plain. I think it's going to be something vibrant.
Feels like it's almost certainly going to be loud.
Yeah.
For sure. Now that we've seen that they've taken photos with the players wearing them, based off that one promo picture they did where they black out the jersey, that means the players have seen them. Ostensibly, the players have pictures with them wearing it. Devin, where are the chances that a player screws up and posts a picture of it early?
I think they're pretty low.
Think they got them on the down? They got them like locked down so far?
Yeah, they're not going to post it to like social media. I don't think it would leak. I don't know. I don't see there being that many ways for it to leak from a player.
Vesti, as confident?
Yeah, I feel like people are very aware of these things nowadays, and with it being less than a week to go at this point, I just don't know if it's going to be the opportunity.
All right.
Although, maybe we'll have to keep some eagle eyes open for anybody going down on Sunday. Something's a door cracked open a little too far or something's lying around.
Yeah.
I was even thinking, you know, butter up to some of the players, see if they, you know, ask them if they've seen it and ask them their opinion, see if they drop anything.
Is the fire reason to see if you can search, like, hey, can you show me a picture of this or that from some other event? See, as we're scrolling, they'll pass by it. Problem is, the shirts, they're not at the stadium, because it looked like they did the photo shoot at Montour Junction, so they may not be up there.
Yeah. And I don't know, has it been all of the players? Because I've only seen the one on an actual human being, and I believe that was Kiza.
Yeah, it was definitely, yeah.
In that picture. That's who I thought it looked like.
I mean, I'm just assuming they started doing their going to the bathroom headshots already.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a good chance that Keys is actually just wearing a black shirt in that photo, and they were like, you also don't get to see it, and just stand here and pretend you have it on. I don't know. I'm excited to see. I feel like I'll be very let down if the hype is not worth it. But other than the jersey itself, I'm excited that, you know, from my understanding, these kits are different. So Adidas sent the team the blank kits, and then they had to basically hire someone to add the names and the numbers and all the patches. From what I'm understanding, Charlie does all of that in-house. And Charlie also sells to places like Dick's. So there's a chance that you walk into your local neighborhood Dick's and there's a Forbes jersey up on the wall that you can purchase, which I think will be a huge step in the right direction for becoming a bigger name in Pittsburgh. My mom tried to go out and buy me, you know, some Hounds gear for Christmas, and she said it was very difficult to find. And anytime she kind of walked in somewhere, she was like, do you have any, you know, Pittsburgh Riverhounds gear? And they were like, who
the hell's that?
And you know, yeah, yeah. You know, you roll your eyes and you're like, all right, well, screw you. But you know, maybe getting it in Dick's, which, you know, has a ton of locations, you know, gets our name out there, gets, you know, people to maybe come to games if they're like, who the heck are the Riverhounds, and they Google it, and then they're interested. Tickets are relatively cheap, so that's what I'm most excited about. From my understanding, the kits that are sold in stores and presumably online will be exactly what the players wear, minus the official USL patch on the arm, which is exciting. I hope they have some available at the party on Wednesday.
They wrote that up, nice, it sounds enough, like they will be available for sale that night.
That's what I was thinking, but I also don't know if it's like pre-sale, you know, they'll be available for pre-sale, or I would think that they would want people to have them on.
It'd be kind of dumb with them not to have
home
them,
opener.
Not to have them available then. That'd be a missed opportunity.
But yeah, I'm excited.
Wednesday. Yeah. The 21st, 6 p.m. Heinz History. They say you have to RSVP, but I doubt they'll stop you at the door. So just do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. The United Soccer League Super League is now a thing. USL SL. They've got to work on that. It has been announced and has been approved as a D1 league, women's league, here in the United States of America. That means we now have two first division women's leagues in this country. Vesty, we've been playing this long game of USL, the soccer wars, all that happy stuff. What are your big takeaways from the announcement and what the future holds?
Soccer wars never end. It definitely, you know, gets the headlines of, oh, they're D1, they're gonna fight the end of USL or whatever. But I, having a few days to think about it, I'm not fully convinced that is their ultimate goal. I think it's more of a knock on the federation for just how low D1 women's standards are, that you know, well, if you're bringing in groups that are champion USL championship level or somewhere between championship and League One, you're basically there at for the women's requirements. So there's no real reason to like hamstring yourself to be, well, we're only going to be D2. We don't feel like applying for D1. It's just not a reason to do that. So I mean, the NWSL has like balanced out or has solidified in recent years. Like, I don't think they're in risk of folding or anything. I'm not convinced that the Super League is going to necessarily challenge, because there's already getting to be a decent money gap, nowhere near like USL to MLS, but it's starting to get through already. I feel like,
well, wait, were you just assuming the money gap, because we don't know what they're going to pay on salary?
Yeah, I mean, we assume, talking about it. Yeah, I mean, NWSL's minimum salary isn't that much either, so like I think there's gonna be a lot of overlap at the low end. And but like I know the headlines and the knee-jerk reaction and the whatever bloggers there are would love to say that they're going to challenge it and it's going to be a big war. I feel like they're all eventually, I think the standards are going to get adjusted at some point in the future. I think they're going to ultimately end up slotting in at the same kind of level as championship to the NWSL to MLS sort of thing. And I just don't necessarily see a direct head-to-head thing, especially with the schedule being the opposite half of the year. There's just I just don't see a lot of overlap. So, like, I'm optimistic for it. I think it's going to be a good thing. I'd love to see us get into it in the expansion teams, but I don't think it's going to be this big. At least right now, it just doesn't seem to me like it's going to be a big battle.
What do you think happens in New York and DC, where there's going to be both NWSL and USLSL teams?
I don't think DC is going to matter, because they're playing at Segra, which, you know, like, not like Loudon's making waves.
They got running water.
So, I mean, the Spirit are out. They got the exposure. They got the bigger thing. I think, like, I just got the new owner who's going to put money into it more, you would assume. So I think DC is probably fine. New York's interesting, because that team is always, I mean, I'm not the biggest follower of women's soccer, but it sounds like the Gotham's always been kind of like struggling a bit to find relevancy. They've been bouncing around the area and stuff. They're out of RBA at the moment, I think. So if they're not drawing well, and this other team can, I don't know if they would like cause the NWSL team to fold or anything, but I could see them being much closer, kind of be 1A and 1B in that market. We'll see. The NWSL, or the, sorry, the Super League one's playing at the Coney Island place that the Cosmos used to play at. So I don't know how great that facility is or anything, but I think that would be the more interesting kind of head-to-head market of the two.
So they're playing in the same spot as the Brooklyn USL one team, right? Will play.
Yeah, I think they, I don't remember if they're the same ownership.
Same ownership,
but
yeah.
All right. But they're playing at the same former baseball stadium converted to soccer field next to Coney Island that, the Cosmos, the infamous Cosmos, played at for a few years.
Devin, I know a lot of this is we're grasping at straws trying to predict the future of American soccer, which is a dumb, foolish thing to do, but we're going to do it. Where do you see this playing out? Is it a direct, these leagues in real competition with each other? Where are we at in 5 years?
I think, like Vessi said, they can't really be in direct competition if they're not playing at the same time of year. Like, there's a little bit of overlap, but the other thing is, until the game is played in this new Super League, we don't really know what it's going to look like. We don't know what the fan support's going to be. And then, you know, if it's a solid league and does well its first year with its initial clubs, then then I think you'll see a lot more USL teams like Pittsburgh potentially. Like once they see it's a safe investment, like, all right, we don't need to like risk anything here. We can go in with that. And then the other question is what happens with the USL owned NWSL clubs like North Carolina and Louisville? Like, do they make the switch in 5 years down the line just to align with the USL? So I think it'll be interesting, but until a game is actually played, I don't think it means much yet, like D1 status. But yeah, it'll definitely be interesting.
Have you looked at the map of locations for the league?
Yeah, I've seen.
It's
like
all,
how many teams do they have? It's not
eight, I believe.
Yeah,
it just meets the PSL on that or PLS. It's all East Coast, Southeast, and then Spokane, Washington, out in the fuck. We don't like it's there. To say they're on an island is disrespectful to distant islands. I think their closest game is Dallas or something like that.
But judging by how USL League One is run, I mean, that seems like a trend with them. They don't really pay too much attention to the regions. They just kind of get who they can get, really, and then get across the line. Figure out travel. Yep.
I mean, we had the similar thing in our league where, I mean, this is a long time ago at this point, but the LA Blues, OC Blues, OC County, the various names, they were the only West Coast team for a couple of years. And so they had to do all that sort of travel, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ariana, how does this league get traction in terms of recognition? Do you see them splashing the cash on current stars, the people a little bit past their prime? Where are they getting the attention from if they're going to compete to a certain degree with the more established NWSL?
I think you have to look at players who, like National League, like level players, national team level players that aren't signed by NWSL teams, or like look at the academies. We're seeing a lot of that, you know, even in the USL, but I think the academies are really an untapped market, especially when you have a big league that doesn't necessarily have space for all of the academy leagues there are. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh has a women's academy league, and we don't have, you know, a funnel for that like we do the men's team. So I think that, you know, looking at colleges, you start to build, you know, big names. Some teams could try to go out and grab some of the big names from, you know, established names from NWSL teams. But you don't want to make a huge splash with just a couple of names and not be able to fill the rest of your roster if you're on a cap or, you know, only have so much budget for players. But I think you get a couple of really big names, and then you kind of look at academies and colleges and build the rest of your roster with those young legs. So to answer your question, I think it's like half and half. You get a handful of seasoned players, veterans who, you know, can lead the team, can start the team, who know what they're doing. And then you pad the rest of it with, you know, young legs, fresh players, who are moldable and, you know, willing to listen to a veteran. And I think that you have to bank on those big names. I mean, you're going to get local markets with you know, smaller names, but I think you have to get a handful of those big names, spread them out, and then, you know, start bringing in young players that want to study under these, you know, veterans, and then you build a team like that, and then you start to get younger players who have big names then. But and then the answer to everything is put a team in Pittsburgh. That'll make you grow. So,
yes, clearly.
You know, clearly put a team in Pittsburgh.
USL Championship was dog shit till the Hounds came around.
Facts.
Vesty, kind of piggybacking on Ariana's answer, do you, the differences in how these two leagues are going to operate in that NWSL still has a draft and, you know, player rights that are kind of controlled through the league, and you're training for the player rights, and it's very much a league-centric MLS type of model. It's not a single entity, so it's not quite that level, but it's, the player control is very limited, as opposed to the USL that will not have a draft, will not have kind of the salary restrictions, it seems. It'll be much more of a traditional soccer, football structure. Do you see that having a difference on maybe where players end up choosing to play as their careers evolve, or could it make it a bigger destination in terms of getting out of the control that NWSL has over the players and their movement?
Yeah, there was the commissioner did an interview right after they got their D1 sanctioning, and there were some questions about like player movement and contracts, and they were very adamant about, you know, we're not doing, like you said, not doing the draft, we're not trying to restrict players, they can control their own destiny about where they end up going. I don't know on the women's side if there is such a push or like kind of undercurrent that you have to go to Europe to play. Like you can't just have a career here. Like, you know, that's long been a thing on the men's side of the ultimate goal was to play in Europe. So I don't know if that's there, but the fact that, you know, they're aligning with the international calendar. There's not going to be any roster restrictions, no rights weirdness like MLS, and like you said, to some extent NWSL. I think that could be really appealing to certain groups of players, you know, especially if they're targeting NWSL minimum, I think it was like 36K or somewhere around there. If they can target that to play their players, and you know, that makes, they can start like picking players off, maybe is too strong a word, but they can start offering something for the second half of an NWSL roster that, like, you know, hey, you can come here. We're seeing a lot of success on the men's side now of players coming here as a stepping stone to go to Europe. You know, we could do that here for you as well. You know, we've seen, there's been a lot of movement this year of MLS Next Pro guys leaving that to go to USL because of, like, you know, better control about where they're going to end up being, and again, ultimately probably going to Europe. So they're definitely establishing this pipeline, and, you know, having that on the women's side, again, I don't know how strong that desire is because there's just probably less teams. But I think it makes it a very compelling case for that second half of the roster, that they can, if they can meet the salary, but give you more control and then give you that better percentage or chance or whatever of going elsewhere, then I think that becomes really appealing to players.
Yeah, I think it's so much of this is gonna be a weird puzzle to fit together, how these two leagues coexist without necessarily coming off as adversarial, might be kind of frenemy-ish, and then the two very different models of player control. I find it just from a macro level very interesting how this could play out. And then this, the idea that US soccer has opened the door to two concurrent D1 leagues existing, which may or may not come into play sometime down the road. Right? That's, I'm not thinking anything crazy, am I?
I think you are.
Damn it.
That gap's too big at this point.
All right, fair enough. A couple more events that we need to talk about here quickly. Get us out of here so we can, you know, call this Thursday night a wrap. Hounds this Sunday hosting WVU. Devin, why should people go to it?
Because Nick Noble will be there.
Damn right. the week after that, Hounds are hosting Pitt at 4, but at 2, it's the annual general meeting. Vesty, why should people go to it?
So you can go hang out with your Steel Army friends, get your membership package, presumably vote on something, and just have a good old time.
Yeah, we will have a contested election. I can say that much right now. That's kind of fun. It'll be good stuff. March the 9th, 4 p.m., Hounds are playing in Albuquerque against New Mexico United. We're going to have a watch party at Bulldog Pub in Morningside. Ariana, why should people go?
Because it's going to be awesome. Opening game of the best season that we're going to have. And I'll be there, so that's important, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The Friday after that, All Hounds Eve, the night before the home opener at the Pitch on Butler. Devin, back to you. Why should people go there?
Because it is a new local soccer bar, and you should go check it out. And All Hounds Eve is great. I went last year. It's a great time. Yeah, so come check it out.
Beautiful. The next day, Hounds home opener versus Orange County. Vesty, why should people go there?
Do you really need to say why?
Nope, not at all. We're good.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Kids, anything else we left out? Anything else we need to get on before we get out of here? That sounds like a no to me. Mm-mm. Beautiful. We'd like to thank the Beautiful Game Network for providing the online hosting of Houndsy. Check out the wealth of soccer content being produced weekly at bgn.fm. The Houndsy theme music was composed and performed by Rocketman and the Space Babies. Check them out at facebook.com/spacebabiespgh. The show is produced by Joe Majorak. Email the show at pghstewarmy@gmail.com and put podcast in the subject line. All complaints about the show can be sent to the one and only nick.noble@mail.wvu.edu, or you can just tell him to his face on Sunday. On behalf of Ariana, Devin, Vesty, I am Dan Yost. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back again soon.